All right, everybody, welcome to the Joshi 2010s journey. It is it is JD. This is episode 56. We are in 2012, and we're back in JWP land. We're back at the Cinema Club, and we're also heading to Kawasaki, Japan, for a JWP openweight title match, all here on the Pure Mountain Series tour that they're running in the middle of 2012. We got a couple things we're gearing up for in JWP and Ice Ribbon, because we have been covering Ice Ribbon the last couple times, where they're going to do a joint show in Yokohama in late July. What that card entails? Well, we'll find out not next episode, but I believe it's the episode after that, that we'll be doing the J Ribbon show, as it's dubbed. What they do attendance wise, I guess we'll have a lot to compare, because the attendance of these shows are very much on the low end side for JWP. And this was a worry I had with quick turnaround of Tsubasa Kurigaki kind of coming off that Haley Hatred win, and then immediately dropping the title to Kayoko Hariyama, whom has really grown on me the more I watch of her. She is definitely on that upper echelon of the people of the Joshi out there currently in the scene. She's one of the better workers, but star power wise, there's a lot missing now in the scene, and they need to develop a lot of talent and get them higher. And I really feel, after watching these shows, that the training, or at least understanding of what makes these matches enticing and more interesting, is kind of my issue with a lot of the modern wrestling in Joshi now, is the wrestlers just don't have enough big-time singles experience on what makes a match go to the next level. Like the whether it's the formatting, carrying yourself like a bigger star, these kinds of aspects, and changing up the formulas too. You know, that's why the Julia Mayuki match kind of hit people a little bit differently, because it was a straight brawl. There was a little bit of blood involved. I wish they would have done a little more, to be honest, but there needs to be hatred. There needs to be feuds. There needs to be rivalries. And we're just not getting that. And we're not getting new stars made either. So it's a rough time. If you're just watching it for kind of the straight wrestling, well, then you're like, okay, you're a satisfied fan more or less. But if these people are going to start making money, they got to start like doing things. You know what I mean? 2012 in JWP, there's kind of three hopes I can point to at this point in time. Basically accepted that Bolshoi, Sace Abe, and company just aren't going to do it, right? They're just not going to be a part of this. So, and you really don't get the feeling that Leon, with what they did in 2011, they're really going to go back to her anytime soon. So that leaves your options very limited to these people, and that's Masaki Owada, Arisa Nakajima, whom they've immediately putting into a tag title match here. And it's actually not Hanako Nakamori at this point in time. In their minds, like in my mind, it's Hanako Nakamori. But in JWP's mind, it's Manami Katsu. And she's the one that was in that Ayumi Kurihara produce show. Kind of came across that same way. So I found that very interesting. The JWP and kind of not the scene at large is really looking at a number of different people in wave sense. They think it's Shushi Batani, but she's got to pay her dues. They kind of use Kana and Kurihara sparingly. But here in JWP land, their options seem to be Ohada, Nakamori Nakajima, and Manami Katsu. I think it was Manami Katsu on that Ayumi Kurihara show. I could definitely look that up really quick of what happened there in that match. But you know what? It's not important. What is important is we go to the cinema club as we continue our Joshi on the Patreon, patreon.com/redleafretrocast. Two Joshi 2010s each and every month, LLPW and more. If you're listening on AJW Destiny, then consider subscribing to the Patreon. Help get these DVDs. Help continue the series and learn along with us. The support is very welcome. It's really contributed a lot. And that would be the most it's contributed by far is Catch the Wave 2012, which we'll be covering. Can't wait for that. My only known source was to get a DVD from Japan, from Wave's own site, which costs some money. And if you join up, then, hey, I'll give you some thanks there, and you'll have access to the Joshi Drive, in which you can come and grab Catch the Wave 2012. So, JWP, Pure Mountain Series continues on. So it started in kind of May, and it ran through June, kind of not really building up a lot of storylines, but it's the post 20th anniversary Mini X show, and we're going to eventually a Cork and Hall show, which is Pure Slam 2012, which I believe is in mid August. And that's kind of the culmination of this whole Pure Mountain series. And I'm going to take a look at the card for Pure Slam 2012 here to kind of give you a tease over what they have planned in the main event. Okay, so that's a little ways away. Interesting. Okay, I can now actually bring that up at the end of this cast here. So, Cinema Club, attendance of 182. Not their best that they've been doing that they did. They were doing 200 and change sometimes there, especially the last couple of years. So JWP's losing attendance at this point in time. While we're seeing Wave kind of fluctuate up and down, but they did take full advantage of the Toshi Yamatsu retirement, among other things, them hitting a 1200 at Korakuen Hall there. JWP isn't hitting very high. It might be worth doing an attendance kind of breakdown of JWP compared to what they're doing these days, at least in Pure J sense, for the Pure J podcast, which is also available on the Patreon once a month. So you get, I think you really get your money's worth. Rabbit Miyu defeats Micro, which is the former Chitomiya of Ice Ribbon, so yes, one deserter of Ice Ribbon in the Emi Sakura Exodus, losing to Rabbit Miyu, the JWP Junior title here, possibly the shortest, as in physically short, tiny match you can imagine without actual little people like from Mexico. But Rabbit Miyu is like okay, but and Chitomiya is a little bit better, but them going 10 minutes is kind of rough when they just have, like, no physical presence in the ring. And I'm not talking about, like, their size being the issue. It's their look and their style. It's very basic and really has nothing to do with taking advantage of their size. They have no speed. They have no nothing. Didn't like this very much. Kazuki and Sachiabe wanted defeats Command Bolshoi and Nana Kawasawa. 15 and a half minutes this went. I thought it'd never end. Nana Kawasawa is like out of shape Sayahida in a discount form. Just like a onesie that doesn't look any good. It's yellow. She's got terrible, like a bowl cut with green, like frosted tips. Almost. She looks awful. You know what she reminded me of also? If you watch Nickelodeon and they're on like a Double Dare or something and they get hit with the green slime, that's what she looked like. The after effects of that. And she would be like a Texas redneck kind of situation. It's okay. I grew up in Texas. I know what they look like for sure. Kazuki stinks. So anytime that it was Sachiabe against Bolshoi, that was good. But the match just, oh boy, Hard Skip. And that was followed by Kayako Hariyama, the champion, taking on and defeating Mori in 15 minutes, 32 seconds. These matches just don't end. Mori is like discount Kazuki. With the weird comedy, the wrestling slow, just not great. This woman was trained by, I believe it was Kairi Ito in the early 2000s. She was out of wrestling for a while. She's like Sakura Hirota without the shtick. It very disjointing, very, very bad. So far, this card was not doing great. But then we got some hope. Because the semi-main and the main, I thought, delivered in their own special ways. Hanako Nakamori and Misaki Iwata defeat Leon and Tsubasa Kurigaki in a 20-minute match. And this was there to build up Ohada as a legit challenger. And Nakamori as someone to take keep an eye on in the future, as her situations with Leon in particular was excellent. Leon is still very much high speed at this point in time. She can still do a lot of that good work. And so can Tsubasa Kurigaki. But Kurigaki's bigger offense is usually her complete vacuum of a personality. And I might as well say an actual vacuum might have more personality than Tsubasa Kurigaki. Her wrestling is weak on the selling aspect, but good on the power. What Nakamori is lacking at this point in time is just kind of experience. That's all she's lacking. And the same could be said for Ohada, but she's a little further along. So it was a good tag match. Went a little long with their skill level, but I think it served the purpose to set up Ohada for the title match against Hariyama that they're going to do in a month's time. Because this took place on June 17th, and our next show is July 8th. So they got kind of a decent little period to kind of advertise it and build it up. And I let's see here. If this was on July 8th, and this was on June 17th. It was essentially advertising and getting to Kanagawa to kind of build up those tickets. But we'll get to if they were able to get more than this show. And our main event, Arisa Nakajima and Manami Katsu. You see what I was saying before. They are taking on the tag title champions of Emi Sakura and Kaori Yonayama. How did this woman get a tag title, even match, after the shit she pulled at the end of 2011 with her regret of retirement? And Emi Sakura is teaming with this woman, but the story they went with was Emi Sakura and Yonayama had their little singles match. Emi Sakura more or less squashed her. They got together, and because Yumatsu retired, they vacated, her and Yuyu vacated the titles, which led to, of all things, at Itabashi Green Hall on May 4th, Emi Sakura and Yonayama teaming up and defeating the team of Bolshoi and Rabbit Miyu for the tag titles. Could not believe my eyes. And no, I did not watch that match. Just could not believe that's what they decided to book. And Bolshoi and Rabbit Miyu had that kind of interaction together. But anyways, I digress. This match was good. I went 2 out of 3 on it. I would have gone higher, but the match was only 13 minutes. If they switched the times between the semi-main and the main, I think this could have hit a 3 out of 3 type territory there. But Nakajima still seems to be finding the legs underneath her, while Manami Katsu is tending to get into a higher level. And having Yonayama and Sakura as a tag team, I think, is great. They work really well together. The problem is Yonayama has lost a lot of star power. She has lost a lot of personality. She's not the same wrestler. She's going through some things, guys. And Emi Sakura, she's quit her company. There's an aura to these two that is just kind of uncomfortable. And eventually the crowd gets kind of hot for this match, but mostly that energy that you felt during this main event, especially at the beginning, was very hard to overcome. So I found myself kind of pushing my mentality to the side of that and focusing in on Ari Sanakajima and Manami Katsu and what they were bringing. And they brought a lot of fire and energy, which really turned the match around, really got the crowd behind them. And a good, nice little decent hot finish. It just kind of came out of nowhere and you really came away wanting more. So hopefully that's something that they're going to, that JWP is going to build with surrounding Nakajima and Katsu, whether that's eventually getting another tag title shot down the line, or they go off into singles matches, whether it's against each other or they're getting Yonayama or Sakura or Sachi Abe and company to kind of put them over. That is my feeling coming out of that. So we go to Kanagawa at the Laronza Kawasaki Plaza Seoul, which is a goofy little small like ballroom type situation there. Not Tokyo proper, in which they're advertising an open weight title match between Ohada challenging Hariyama. Now, the last time there was an open weight title match, let's see. So Hariyama won the title from Kurigaki in April, and here we are in July 8th, and this is the first defense. Okay. It's the first defense. So it's been almost 3 months. Let's see, May, June. Yeah. Almost 3 months since she won the title. Hariyama's kind of been not really in the main event. She's not been the focus. It's JWP's focusing more on Nakajima and this Emi Sakura Yonayama tandem. It's coming across very strange. But I digress. This show drew only 180 people. This is kind of what I was talking about. I guess I've mentioned it in other podcasts, but what I was talking about was they need to build up the youth to really make them main eventers. And clearly, JWP is a product of struggling with that. And one could make the argument that they're not running enough and doing enough to make these people seem larger than mid-carders, essentially. It's a big struggle. It's very much veteran first mentality still. However, as I mentioned earlier in the year, JWP is actively getting away from that and being more isolationist compared to the rest of the scene. They have their kind of contracted wrestlers and their focal points of who they want to bring in and who they want to concentrate on. And they don't go to Kanagawa very often. If I look at their schedule, I think it's like a once every other month trip that they kind of go to this Yokohama, Kawasaki region of Japan. Let's see here. They were there in January for a tag league show. They were there at to start the Pure Mountain Series in the Yokohama area of Kanagawa. And then here they are in Kawasaki. So this is only their third trip. Other than that, they're in Tokyo. Let's see. They go to Fukuoka in October and Saitama. So this is this is kind of their last trip there. The last time they were in Kanagawa, which was May 20th, they drew a meager 111 people. So the title match at least more or less drew 70 more, almost 100 people, 100 more people there. It's still not great. At least in the... JWP's struggling, man. But I digress. The opener was Hanaka Nakamori defeating Maki Narumiya in 9 minutes. The Ice Ribbon prospect that just had a match against Hikaru Shida that we discussed, which was promising. But here she is in JWP in the opener, which kind of speaks to the standing of Ice Ribbon in the scene comparatively to someone like JWP. You could make that argument that Ice Ribbon's one of the lower end promotions. I would put it above Sendai. I would put it above Diana for sure at this point. kind of your top ones are Wave, Oz Academy for sure at the top. Stardom is doing their own thing. They're kind of hard to gauge at this point in time in 2012. They're still just starting out. But with the crowds JWP is doing, they're not doing so hot. They're just they tend to just run these shows. Anyways, match was okay. That's my point there. Command Bolshoi and Hikari Minami, another Ice Ribbon former champion there. They defeat Sachi Abi and Tsubasa Kurigaki 13 minutes. It's like a lot of comedy. Very tough to get into. Bolshoi was very goofy. Sachi Abi and Kurigaki were kind of treating this as a like, well, it felt like a house show. And that's kind of not what you want to bring to these kinds of things. Kazuki and Mari, there's your wanted tandem again. They defeat, in a horrid match, Nana Kawasawa and Rabbit Miu. 12 minutes this went. You can just imagine that in your head. And that's what that was. So finally, we get to something important. Aris Nakajima and Leon take on and defeat Manami Katsu, teaming with Kagetsu. Match went 19 minutes. This was not as good as the previous show with the Nakamori Ohada Leon Kurigaki match. What this match did do was fully establish Aris Nakajima and Leon as a team, and he established Nakajima further as someone that they want people to pay attention to. Kagetsu has a bleach blonde hair kind of situation going on, the streaks. She's still got her Sendai singlet going on. She reminds me a lot of Ryu Mizunami from the last couple years. Just finally breaking out of Sendai, getting out of that company that doesn't like mean anything. And here she is in the semi-main event of JWP, really trying. She really put a lot of energy in this match, which was very much appreciated. But she's lacking a lot of charisma and flair to her, which is, I know, shocking to see when you see where, you know where she ends up. But that's where she was at this point in time. She's trying to find herself. And everyone in this match was kind of above her. I wouldn't say they're technically above her in the, like, ring game sense. I'd put Leon above her, but they're definitely above her in all the other aspects of being a pro wrestler. I believe Nakajima pinned Katsu at the end. Don't quote me on that one. But I'm not really getting a lot of recommended matches. So I was like, I'm not really feeling this. JWP is kind of bumming me out right now. And then we got Hariyama defending against Misaki Iwata for the openweight title. And I really enjoyed this match. I really did. This was kind of the big moment where Hariyama has grown on me. She is a main event talent in the Joshi scene in terms of 2012. And Ohada is a definite high-end prospect to get to that level. But she never wins anything. She never wins matches. I don't know what happened to the Black Dahlia group anymore. Maybe I'll get more of that sense when we watch Catch the Wave 2012. And Ohada just doesn't have a big dynamic offense. That's what's missing. But what ends up happening in this match is they do a nice job, nice little injury leg angle, because Hariyama bodies this woman for like a good 5 minutes to start the match. And then she like tweaks her leg a little bit. Ohada starts working the calf muscle, the knee, and it's more or less one of those kind of, you think the wrestler stepped wrong and they jammed their knee, and then it sells from there. Like, if you're an old school wrestling fan, this would be the match for you, right? It's that kind of style. So what happens is we get a format where Ohada now has a chance to defeat a strong champion because of injury. Decent little story to get you to buy the low-end person could win. And then it's a Hariyama kind of comeback and her leg, and she's still kind of bodying Ohada, and you're just like waiting for the big, like pure Ohada comeback. And you almost get it. And that, so I was like almost feeling a 3 out of 3. I was questioning 4 stars, but what the match was missing was that definitive Ohada comeback for a big, like, move to get the near fall. You know, Ohada's key moves are various roll-up combinations or the fisherman driver, okay, up and over. And she hits it a couple times, but the near falls just weren't quite there. She needs a new definitive move to really get myself and the audience to buy in, because those near falls just didn't have the extra oomph that they needed. Even the roll-up near falls at the end where she's on her last leg and the more Hariyama like comes back and just hits her with big lariats to counter any sort of comeback, when Ohada gets the last ditch effort roll-ups, those didn't have as big a punch as I was like really wanting or hoping for. And just when I thought we were going to get to that next level and Ohada was going to bust something out, you know, whether that was off the top rope or Hariyama was going to do the same, Hariyama just hits her with like a couple big lariats and then just puts her away and it's over. And it's like, whew, got away with that one mentality. And it's over in 15 minutes. So I'm at 2 out of 3, and I'm on that higher end, like just below kind of 4 Big Dave stars. I'm at 3 and 3/4 situation. But this was like, it's weird. I'm satisfied, but I'm not satisfied enough in what I got out of here. And in the post-match, Kagetsu comes out and is the challenger to no reaction at all. And they're going to build this match up to the Korakuen Hall that's taking place on August 19th, a month from now. Okay? Before that, we have the J-Ribbon joint show at Yokohama and Kanagawa. So that's Ice Ribbon territory, and where JWP has their, you know, 3 times a year kind of situation. And they're going to have a tag team tournament for this J-Ribbon show to really bring something new and interesting there, while JWP on the side builds towards their Korakuen Hall show in October. The matches that we know is going to be Hariyama against Kagetsu, even though she was on the losing end of the semi-main event. This is what I'm talking about. It's short-sighted booking to no booking. They know they want to build up Arisa Nakajima, but they need challengers for the title, and no, like, they don't quite understand what they're doing, and it's so clear. Because Kagetsu is a nobody in the scene right now, and she can't even win matches in the semi-main event. Arisa Nakajima can, and she establishes that Command Bolshoi is going to be her challenger, because she's going for those tag titles. So she establishes that, and so it's going to be Emi Sakura and Yonayama against Nakajima and Bolshoi for the tag titles at Korakuen Hall. Where does that leave the rest of the card? Well, what's Ohada and Nakamori doing? What is Sacha Abe doing? What's Kurigaki going to do? Who are they going to bring into the show to really sell that Korakuen? Because a main event with a nobody isn't going to be enough. And Nakajima going for the tag titles could be cool. And Bolshoi is very popular, along with Sakura and Yonayama. That's probably your most popular match that's going to draw a house. And what we've seen in the past is JWP brings in Oz Academy, because Oz Academy is very much bigger than them. And when JWP brings them in, Oz Academy is booked bigger than them. They always win the more important matches, unless they kind of bring it into more of a comedy realm. So I fully expect that we'll get Legends, we'll get AJW, we'll get JWP people back from the past to fill out the rest of the card in just random bullshit. And if I pull up Pure Slam 2012, which I have, I am now looking at it, that's more or less exactly where we're going. We have Manami Toyota on the card, we have Mariko Yoshida coming back, Miami Ozaki's on the card. You get the idea. It's I am going to be very curious to see how this show draws. I haven't seen the attendance number. I haven't looked it up. I am very curious to see how these matches turn out and what I'm going to think of them. Because I think it's an uphill battle immediately, and they're not doing enough to, well, book. If you told me that they were essentially picking names randomly out of a hat and just putting stuff together, I'd also believe that. But that being said, I did really enjoy this Hariyama Ohada match. It's one of my favorite women's matches of 2012 so far. And that goes back to my kind of last few podcasts where I keep saying there's just not enough big established matches and main event talent, at least being booked like some, in the scene right now. And it's clearly affecting cards and excitement level that even I have covering this. And that'll do it for this episode of Joshi 2010s. Catch the Wave 2012 is next, guys. I don't know how many episodes it's going to be. It could be one, could be two, could even be three. We're going to find out. See you next time.